Sunday, if the Lord lets me, I'm going to bring a message called Going Home. As I said at the funeral, I was thinking about Rosie's dad and mom. And we were thinking about all the things we used to do. And we went by the old house. And it was bringing back all kinds of memories. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to try to get the boys, both David Richard and David William, to sing Going Home. And maybe I'll get the boys to do some singing. And are you going to be here Sunday? You're going to be booked already? Or you, maybe you guys can sing a song too, Rod, if you could. And I was just sitting there in that funeral home, and I got thinking about bringing a message about going home. If the Lord lets me preach, I'm going to bring a message Sunday morning. We're going to go back and reminisce about our time when we were younger. And then I'm going to bring it around and give you something special with it. And at least I'm hoping that I can do that. God just squeezed me during that funeral. And I had a lot of thoughts in my mind. And it's amazing, even that little card, I didn't even look at it until I got home. Donnie's card. I even told Russ, I'm going to bring a message called Going Home. On the card that they make up with the little cemetery card, it said Going Home. It was like confirmation that God wanted me to bring that message. I said, wow. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So, Lord willing, Sunday, if the Lord doesn't change my heart, I can't promise you, but if the Lord will let me, I'm going to preach Going Home Sunday morning. And it's all about heaven. How many like heaven? And so I'll be preaching about heaven. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1. And it's already almost 20 minutes before 8 o'clock. We're going to begin on Wednesday nights, probably for the next 3 or 4 months, teaching the book of Romans. It's a great book. It's probably my favorite book as far as doctrine. You can't get no more greater book than Romans for doctrine. I gave you two pieces of paper. Of course, this the one that says Romans, a foundational book. I write all kinds of stuff on my thing. So, but you don't have the writing on yours. I do, but that's my notes. It wouldn't matter because I've got everything in my heart, a lot of it in my heart. But Romans is a tremendous book. How many got their first paper? When you study the book of Romans, you're gonna study and you're gonna learn 5 major doctrines. 5 major doctrines. The doctrine of condemnation. Everyone guilty before God, condemned. Look at Romans 3:19. Just we'll get into this next week, but look, just to show you one scripture about condemnation. If you look at Romans 3:19, it says, every mouth stopped, and the whole world, look at the next word, guilty. The gavel of God comes down, and God says, guilty. Condemnation. People are condemned. Why we got to be saved. And the whole world guilty. Now, we'll study the doctrine of condemnation. In that doctrine of condemnation, I didn't give you the paper, and I'm not. I'll give it to you maybe next week or the week after. We're going to study 4 types of sinners. The rational sinner, the reformed sinner, the religious sinner, and then, of course, the redeemed. Then there's the whole world guilty. And it's a tremendous thing. I'll try to do 1 per week. We'll see what we can do. And I got to teach this to you, but I got to be able to condense it. And when I teach, it takes me a while to get going. Once I get going, I'm all right. And that's why I took two. Dr. Brooke had. I went to college when we took Romans. It was 4 hours a night. 4 hours, Romans, one night. And he took 8 months to teach it. And But there's five major doctrines. Let me move so I can get through this. Five major doctrines. We're going to study the doctrine of condemnation. The whole world's guilty before God. That's why Christ came. Then justification, starting in chapter 3, verse 21 through 5:11. Condemnation goes from 1:18 all the way to 3:20. Justification, God, what's the word justification? It means God sees us just as though we've never sinned. When you get justified, Billy, it's like God sees us just like we've never been in the lost, fallen race of Adam. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. We're all in that lost, fallen race of Adam. We're condemned. We need to be justified. Amen? And so we'll study that great doctrine of justification. And when you get justified, oh man, it's great. God sees you just as though you've never sinned, even though we are sinners. Romans 4:8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, he won't charge you for sin. And we'll get into all that. And the three P's about justification, the three P's. Saved from the penalty of sin, saved from the power of sin, saved from the, one day we'll be saved from the presence of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. So you got condemnation, justification. You got sanctification. The word sanctification just simply means to be set apart. We're put in Christ. We're in Christ. Aren't you glad about that? And of course, there's three aspects of sanctification. There's initial sanctification. There's progressive sanctification. There's ultimate sanctification. And so we'll get into all that. You know, that of course, if we get that far, we're talking February probably. But anyways, maybe what's after February, March. Then glorification. Man, I can't wait for glorification. One day God's going to give me a brand new body. How many got aches and pains in your body now? One day God's going to give us a brand new body. It's going to be glow. Dr. Brooke said, make that a long O. We're going to glow. We're going to shine like the firmaments in the star, like the stars. Amen? Glow. It's not glory. It's glow. Glorification. Amen? And because we're going to glow. We're going to have a shine to us. And then lastly, of course, the fifth doctrine that the book of Romans teaches starts at 12:1. I'll give you all these breaks down. There's no sense in me giving to you now because it'll be a while before we get there. But 12:1 all the way to 16 there. Consecration, and that's just surrendering our life, being a good steward. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And then it goes on, be not conformed to this world, but be renewed in your mind and what the perfect and acceptable will of God is. And so that's a great doctrine, but that's at the very end. If I can keep going, that would be like in May. Yeah. But let's hope we see that. But I know that God put real heavy the rational and reformed and the condemnation. And I'm thinking good about justification. So, and those are real important. But if the Lord will let me, if you don't tire out on Wednesday nights, we'll see how the Lord blesses it. We'll do the whole thing. I love teaching the book of Romans. Amen. And we might have to start getting here and having one song and one prayer on Wednesday, an offering, and then let me teach. Because I need 45 minutes to an hour. And then that's really... Because when I teach this, I take usually about 2 hours a night, per night, to teach this. But it's a great, folks, you'll get teaching. Even you that went to Bible college, you'll get teaching that you never got before, I promise you. You'll get some good stuff. And so, alrighty, so you got the five major doctrines. Now look at your next paper. Tonight we're going to start with Romans 1:1. And if you look at your paper that I gave you, Miss Myrtle, the first 17 verses of chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to teach this introduction. I can't. Because this takes probably 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, probably 3 or 4 weeks to get through this, maybe 2 months. So what I'm just going to give you is a real quick, I gave you an outline here. How's that? But let me look up here. Let me teach you some things. I am going to give you a few things of it, but not hardly any of it as far as all the teaching. But Romans chapter 1, 1 through 17 is called the introduction. And when you get to verse 18, then it starts your doctrine or condemnation. But the introduction's got three divisions. Look at your paper that I'm giving to you. 1 through 7 is called the greetings. There's three divisions. Verses 1 and 5 is all about the writer. Then verses 2 through 4 about what he's writing. He was writing about the gospel that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And then the verse 3 and 4 talks about the human side of Christ. And then verse 4 talked about the deity of Christ. Verses 6 and 7, to whom he's writing to. He was writing to all in Rome, the beloved of God, and those called to be saints. Then verses 8 through 15, eight things about Paul. In verse 8, you find out that Paul was a thankful Christian. Verse 9, you'll find he was a serving Christian. Verse 10, you'll find he was a submissive Christian. Verse 11 and 12, you'll see he was a fellowshipping Christian. This church likes to fellowship. There's days we'll quit here at 7, 8. There's people 2 and 3 hours after church is over. They're still here talking. I can't believe it. I preached that one night, and I came back at 10 o'clock. I was seeing Steve drive home on his motorcycle. I said, Rosie, they're just now leaving. It's 10 o'clock at night. You know? But I'm glad that you care, and I'm glad that you love one another, you know? And we ought to be fellowshipping Christians, amen? It's good to have fellowship with the right, with the brethren. And obligated Christians. Paul was an obligated Christian. He was obligated he was a debtor to everyone for the cause of Christ. And he was a ready Christian. And that gives you a little bit. But go back to verse 1 and 5. I do want to give you one thought, and I have taught you this, but I'm going to teach you what the highlights that I the most things that I think is the most important. Paul's name. Look at verse 1. Paul. How many see that? See, that's how I would start. I would start with when we start. Remember, we start with one word. 3 weeks on one word. We start with Paul. And those that went in my Romans class know I'm telling the truth. But for the sake of the time that we have now, we're going to just work tonight on the name Paul. The writer of Romans is Paul, the Apostle Paul. Well, what about this writer? Let's real quickly look about the writer of Romans. First of all, he was saved in Acts chapter 9. Look at Acts chapter 9. And look at verse 5 and 6. You know he was on the road to Damascus. He had warrants in his hand. He was going to put Christians in jail. And matter of fact, the chapter before, chapter 7 and 8, 758, he killed Stephen. First recorded martyr was Stephen. Remember how he was stoned? They killed him. How many remember that? But so Paul was feared. Paul was no doubt hated. And when people heard about the name Saul, his name was Saul when he was lost. His name was Saul. And look at chapter 9. Look at verse 1, Acts 9:1. This is about the writer of the book of Romans. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters. In other words, warrants. Like warrants to put people in jail. You know, arrest them. And desired him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues. And if he found any in the way, whether they were men or women, didn't matter. He might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Paul thought he was serving God, but he wasn't. The Bible says that the people have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light. You got to get that light, man, that light of Christ, light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, he trusted Christ right there. Right there is where Paul got saved. Verse 6. He saw him as Lord. He realized he needed a Savior. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told unto thee what thou must do. And so we see Saul's conversion there. And if you look at verse 15 of Acts chapter 9, God had a real special thing for the Apostle Paul. And Ananias was afraid. He was afraid to go out there because he said, "Man, God, this guy will kill me, man. He's putting Christians in jail." He was scared out of his socks. But God says to him, look at verse 15. "But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, don't be afraid. Go thy way, for he," talking about the Apostle Paul, "for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before" who? Remember that. Circle that word, Gentiles. Saul was a chosen vessel for the Gentiles. Now, I want you to stay with me in the book of Acts. Let's follow his name a little bit. Look at Acts 12:25. Look at Acts 12:25. We're in the introduction of the book of Romans. We're on the first verse and the first word. We're talking about the writer. Look at Acts 12:25. And this is after he got saved. And Barnabas and what? Now, I want you to note something. Not only watch his name as Saul, but notice that Barnabas is spoken before Saul, his name, in relationship who God mentions first. Did you notice that? Okay, now watch. Keep watching with me. Are you still with me? All right, look at Acts 13:2. Acts 13:2. Get in there because I'm going to show you a lot of scripture in 13. Acts 13:2. Remember, he got saved in Acts chapter 9. "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said unto me, separate me, Barnabas and who? Okay? For the work wherein I have called them." Now watch. Go to verse 6. Acts 13. Now watch what happens. Saul gets his name changed in this chapter. God changes Saul's name to Paul. And when they had gone through the island of Patmos, they had found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the this Bar-Jesus was with the deputy of the county named Sergius Paulus. How many are with me yet? Circle that word, Sergius Paulus. There's two guys here. There's that sorcerer named Bar-Jesus and Sergius Paulus. There's two people. This Sergius Paulus, he was a prudent man and who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. He heard about it. God was drawing them. No one comes unless God draws them. But Emmaus, the sorcerer, look at verse 8, for so his name by interpretation, it was a guy up there named Bar-Jesus, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, watch, who is called what? First time he's called Paul, and I'll tell you why in just 1 minute here. Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O foe of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy and of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Now watch verse 11 and 12. "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt bind them, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist of darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand," because he got struck down with blindness. Watch. Verse 12. "Then the deputy," remember that deputy in verse 7 named Sergius Paulus? Remember verse 7, Sergius Paulus, the deputy? "Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." He believed on, this man trusted Christ, as Sergius Paulus trusted Christ as a Savior. Are you with me? Now, this Sergius Paulus was a Jew, was a Gentile. This Sergius Paulus was a Gentile. Betty, Emma, this is the first Gentile convert of Paul. It's the first Gentile convert of Paul. His name was Sergius Paulus. His name was Sergius. What was his last name? And then it says, now when, verse 13, now when Paul. See, God gave Paul that name as a memorial. Here's a teaching for you. Saul got his name changed to Paul by God. And the reason he changed it to Paul, because it was a memorial to remind him that he was always sent to the Gentiles. Because every time you think of his first Gentile convert, Ray, they'll say, who's that first Gentile convert that you led to Christ? He'll say, Sergius Paulus. And see, God named him Paul as a memorial to remind Paul that he was sent to the Gentiles. How many are still with me? And notice, stay with me. Are you still in Acts 13 with me? Look at verse 46. Look at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas. How many see that verse 46? Wait a minute now. Are you finding what's happening? First of all, his name's no longer Saul. It's Paul. And now he's not second place. Now he's first mentioned. And from then on, you always see Paul's name mentioned first. From then on. He was the dominant. How many are still with me? Isn't God's word good? And so, notice verse 46 and 47. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy or everlasting life, lo, we turn to the who? We turn to the Gentiles, because who did God make a special vessel to the Gentiles? Paul. And Saul's name was changed to Paul because his first Gentile convert was named. Yeah, so he'd always remember it as a memorial that he was sent to the Gentiles. Every time someone called him Paul, he reminded him, hey buddy, you're to the Gentiles. Look at verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of who? People from West Virginia and all the rest of us. Amen? Watch. Be a light to all the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And Brother Billy, praise God for the Apostle Paul, because he reached almost all the known world then. Folks, if it wasn't for the Apostle Paul, we probably wouldn't have got saved over here. Because Paul reached thousands of people, all Gentiles. Us. Yeah, I was thinking about it. I wish, yeah, there. Let me, there's Rod, probably a little, what are you, German, Swede, what are? A little everything, okay.
Half Hungarian.
Brother Kativer, black man associated with Africa, okay? Filipinos back there. Here I am, hillbilly too, whatever. But what I want to show you is this. Different countries. There's probably some here. Some people here probably got German blood in them. Some of you got French blood. Maybe some Italian blood here. How many are with me? I don't care who you are. I don't care what country you are. We're all Gentiles. If you're not Jew, you're a Gentile. How many are starting to say it? And the Gentiles better thank God for the Apostle Paul, because he reached all the... Then they went out and they reached people, and it finally spread over to America later on. Hello? And so, this man who started out hating Christians named Saul, he got saved. He led a man named Sergius Paulus to Christ. Did you notice I'm repeating? Because repetition is the greatest teacher. And then, his first Gentile convert was named Sergius Paulus, and God said, right before, the verse before, it said, and Paul, who we call Paul, because Sergius Paulus is getting saved. And from then on, after the conversion of Sergius Paulus, Paul was always called Paul from then on. He never called Saul. Hello. How many are with me? As far as, you know, God's saying Paul. How many are you with me? And now, are you still in the book of Acts? And so, thank God for Paul. Now, notice, I got you in Acts. Look at Romans 11:13. Romans 11:13. I'm talking about this writer. I'm talking about the name change. I'm talking about what God did in his life. 11:13. Look what Paul said, "For I speak to you Gentiles." He knew he was called to the Gentiles. He loved the Jews. He was willing to go to hell for the Jews. And I'll show you, we get farther. But Paul was sent to the Gentiles. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. Look what it says there. Paul says, I'm in Romans 11. How many got Romans 11, verse 13? "For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of" what? Yeah. He realized what God said at the very beginning of Acts 9:15. He's a chosen vessel to the Gentiles. And then, of course, God gave him that name. God changed his name from Saul to Paul to let him always remember. Look at one more scripture about Paul, and then we'll move on. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Go before the book of Ephesians there. Galatians chapter 2. And look at verse 6 through 8. "But these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me." I love this. "God accept no man's person. For they who seemeth to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." He said, they don't mean nothing to me, man. Ain't no big shots with me, no little shots. We're all little peewees in God's eyes. "But counterwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter." Now, you realize he's talking about uncircumcision, talks about the Gentiles. Circumcision is referring to the Jewish people. Remember Abraham on the eighth? Remember God said to Moses, Abraham, get circumcised? How many? And that's why the Jews had the circumcision. How many know what I'm talking about? And so when you see that, many times when you see the word circumcision in the New Testament, he's referring to the Jewish people. And Paul says, I was sent to the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, and Peter was sent to the Jews. Look at that verse 8. "For what he had that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision to the Jewish people, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles." How many see that? And so what I'm saying to you is this. I'm establishing a fact that Paul was sent to the Gentiles, and I'm establishing the fact that he got his name, named Paul, because God wanted to remind him always that he was sent to. See, I'm not just saying that. I'm backing it up with Scripture. When you teach something, have some Scripture to back it up. And I think by teaching you that God changed Paul's name, Saul's name, to Paul as a memorial, to always remind him that he was sent to the Gentiles, because the first Gentile convert of Paul was Sergius Paulus, I think I've given you enough Scripture to back up what I taught you. Amen? How many see that? Amen. So what I'm saying is, it's a definite thing, and God changed Saul's name to Paul and let him know that he was always, to remind him as a memorial. Every time you hear the name Paul, hey, Paul, hey, Paul, you remember that Sergius Paulus, the first guy he led to Christ, that first Gentile he led to Christ, because that was his biggest mission in life, to reach the Gentiles. And I'm glad he did, because it extends all the way to us. Amen? Okay, go back to your... You got your paper? Alrighty, it's 5 after. Let me give you one more thought, and we'll start condemnation next week. Look at look at the bottom of your page. I wish I could take time on every one of these. It takes hours to teach this. But if you notice, his name, he was a servant. He was called. You got to be called. If you're not called, you know. And by the way, God calls us all to do something, though. Not all to preach, but he calls us all to do something. He was an apostle, and he was separated under the gospel. And we need to be separated under the gospel. And who's got a radio? Turn the radio off. Who's got the radio? Oh, okay. Okay. And so, and then I told you what he was writing about. He was writing about the gospel. The Old Testament prophesied about Christ. When they were offering those lambs, that was all. That was a forerunner of the Lamb of God to come. And then he was writing to those in Rome, and the beloved of God, and all those also be called. In verse 7, those called to be saints. Guess who that is? Yuns, y'all. Amen? How many are with me? It's us. Those that would be saved in the future. And then, of course, 8 great things about Paul. Boy, you Sunday school teachers, man, you could have a... This is a regular Bible lesson right here. Just take these 8 verses, 8 through 15, and show these and say, here, I think I brought messages off of this. Paul was a thankful Christian. Boy, how many think we ought to be thankful? Paul was a serving Christian, and you just... look how the apostle, and then just every one of these, submissive, praying, fellowshipping. Then look at the last thing, and it's already, are we having singing? We're not? Good. Then I'm going to take 10 minutes then. Okay. What happened to our song? Are we just not doing it because of no time? Okay. Okay, though. Theme of Romans. Let me just give you the theme of Romans, and then we're going to go. The theme of Romans is verse 16 and 17, and the theme is the just shall live by. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Look at Romans chapter 1, and Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul says in verse 16, I've got a whole thing just on this verse 16. I got about 10 things. But I'm not going to give to you tonight. We're not going to be able to do it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How many got verse 16? For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, the Gentile. Now look at this, verse 17. For therein, oh boy, oh that man, I do. Yeah. Look at verse 17. We're in Romans 1:17. For therein, what's that word therein referring to? For therein the gospel. Within that gospel, you'll see the righteousness of Christ. It's revealed. How many see that? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written. Here's the theme of Romans. The just shall live by faith. Do you know that? That phrase is in the Bible 4 times. That phrase right there is in the Bible 4 times. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 in the Old Testament. Write this down. Habakkuk 2, 4. The just shall live by faith. It's in 4 times. Habakkuk 2, 4. It's in Romans 1, 17. It's in Galatians 3, 11. And it's in Hebrews 10:38. Yeah, I can. It's in Romans 11, Romans 1:17. It's in Galatians 3:11. And it's in Hebrews 10:38. So that's Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. How many got that all down? Habakkuk 2:4. Mm-hmm. If I'm pronouncing that word right. Habakkuk, is that right, Deborah? How do you say it? Habakkuk, okay. That sounds pretty good to me. Habakkuk, 2:4. I used to call Philemon, Philippon. Then Dr. Brooks said, you want to get an F? I said, no, I think it's, because I said, I think it's Philippon or something like that. But he said, that's Philemon, and you better say it right. And I said, you know what? I got light. It is Philemon. And I didn't want, it's amazing. I hardly ever got an A. When I went to regular school, I never got an, other than gym and math. That's about the only time I ever got an A. But in Bible college, I got A. Every class, I got an A. Isn't that amazing? That's because God put it in my heart. And let me give you, how many wrote those three things down, four things? But let me give you three things now about the just shall live by faith. See, this book of Romans is so great. The theme of it is the just shall live by faith. And so the theme of Romans is how a man can be justified by faith. Okay? And so in Romans, Brother Billy, in Romans, you learn how a man can be justified before a holy God by faith in the exalted, wonderful Son of God, Jesus. So in Romans, you're going to learn how to be justified. In Romans, you learn how to be just by faith. In Galatians, it's the same verse. See, you circle the word just in the book of Romans 1:17, how to be just by faith. And then in Romans, in Galatians 3:11, when you read that book, you learn how to live. Galatians shows you how to live by faith. So you circle that word in Galatians 3:11, the live, that's a big word. And then, of course, Hebrews 10:38, I think I'm leaving you because your eyes are saying, what's he trying to teach me? I'm trying to hurry. In Hebrews 10:38, it's the same verse, the just shall live by faith. And the key word there is faith. And Hebrews 11:1 says, the next chapter, it tells you what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 says, put this right next to Hebrews 10:38, right Hebrews 11:1, you see. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? That's what faith is. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen heaven. But I know Jesus is real and I know heaven's real. And I'm looking forward to going there. And that's faith. It's things hoped for, but I've not seen it. If you see something, it's no longer faith. Then it's sight. Faith is not about sight. Hello? Faith is about things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, God calls things as though, God calls those things which are not as though they are. That's faith for us. I don't see it. I'm not there yet. But God already reckons it. For instance, this is going to be fun. I can't wait to get in. I hope I'm not. We'll get in that condemnation stuff next week. And by the way, I just jumped 4 weeks and 30 minutes here. The Romans people know what I'm talking about. You don't understand. We would be still on that first word, Paul, Saul. But there's no way I can teach it. I can't teach it in this little segment, but I can give some good things and that's what God put in my heart, to give you the important things. They're all important, but what I feel is the most important. I lost the thought I was on, and I was ready to close out. I was on Hebrews 1:9. Faith. Some things hoped for, them things not seen. And God calls those things as even though they're not as though they are. And for instance, how many see Dale and Diane Robinson? How many see them? They're sitting right there. How many can see them? But in God's eyes, like you'd say, the Robinsons, they're at 745 North Freedom. I can see them. So I can reach out and touch them. I know they're there. But God, because you're children of God, God already reckons you risen. He already sees us risen. Even though we're not there yet, he already reckons he already thinks that we're there. He always says it's done. It's done for. Jack and Judy, I don't care if she is a wildcat. She's going up. She's up there now, but she's not causing no trouble. Even though I know she's here. I'm not flipping out. I know she's here. But in God's eyes, see, he already reckons us with the victory. See, this is just a short time. Billy, he already sees us risen. Let me give you a scripture so you don't think I'm nuts, and then I'll close. Is that Colossians 3:1? Look at Colossians 3:1. I didn't have this plan. That's the trouble, because I get things while we're teaching this. Look at Colossians 3:1. Does it say if you be risen in Christ? That's the right scripture? Okay. If ye be been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Or something close to it, right? Not on things on the earth. See, God says, hello, I know you're down there, but by the way, I've already reckoned you up, buddy. If ye be risen with Christ, if ye be risen with Christ, see, Christ, he's at the right hand of the Father. He already reckons us risen in him. We've already got the victory. I'm not hoping to make it. I'm not praying through to make it. I've already made it. Matter of fact, God says, I've already finished the line, even though I'm down here right now. He says, by the way, I know. See, God's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. See, God knows what's at the end of the book before the book ends, because he wrote it. And he's the author and finisher of our life. He's the giver of our life. All our life extends from him. My existence came from him. The day I was born again, he knew. And the day I'm going to leave this world, he knows. God knows it from the beginning to the end. And when I stepped in Christ, when I took Christ my Savior, I know I'm still down there, but in God's eyes, I'm already risen. I've got the victory. Yes, ma'am. That's a good one. There's lots of them. Yeah. That's more like I'm working about. Yeah. We're definitely. Let me give you one for always saved. Okay. What book do I got in Colossians? Look at Ephesians. Then I'll close. Am I boring you? We'll get into this in justification. But let me give you. Boy, this is such a great book. Boy, now next week we're going to get into condemnation. We're going to start the doctrine of condemnation. Man, that's a term. Man, I'll have you showing you scripture that'll knock your socks off. Yes. Yeah, right. That's verse 3 of Colossians. Yeah, that's right. I quoted her verse 1. I thought she asked me about verse 1. Yeah, verse 3. Is that you talking about verse 3? Yeah. Yeah, it says. Go ahead and read that verse again. Eddie, you got verse 3 there? Colossians 3, 1, all the way to 3? 1 through 3? There's a good, he's a student of preacher. I always have him stand. Let's see if he knows the rest of it. Nope, you're supposed to tell the address. Your wife knew right away.
Set your affections on things above, not on the things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you want to put next to that, John 10, 28 and 29 and 30, how we're in the hand of God. Carl? Yeah.
To go along with Colossians 3, 1.
Okay.
That starts out with if.
Yeah, you got to be saved. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Yes, that's where I was going to take you. Thank you, Carl. Were you in the Romans class too?
Yeah.
Amen. Go stand up and read that verse. That's a scripture I want them to see, Carl. See, he's in Ephesians. I'll close on this one. Ephesians 2:6. Here's a verse that goes along with what Annie asked me, and that's where I was heading towards Ephesians.
Ephesians 2:6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ
Jesus. Yeah, we're already there. Isn't that exciting? You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. You say, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either. Hey, I don't understand how a brown cow eats green grass and gives me white milk, but I love milk. Moo! And I'm going to keep drinking milk and eating eggs and butter. I don't care what. I don't understand it all, but I'm sure glad. I don't even understand how you guys can flip a switch and all these lights come on. Oh, I know it's called electricity. But I don't know all the intricacies, all that makes it tweak, and you know, I don't know all that junk. And you don't either, if you'd be honest. But we sure electric, don't we? That runs the air conditioning, runs the lights and everything else. We have the heater in the baptistry. It's sure getting, it's nice when we baptize when we got warm water. Amen. Thank God for electricity. Amen. Hello? There's a lot of things I don't understand, but I sure enjoy it. I can't understand the Trinity, but I believe it. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. 1 John 5:7 says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That word, capital W-R-D, is talking about Jesus. Five times it's in the, that word W-R-D, capital, is in the New Testament five times. See, that's why you can't do this in 30 minutes, because it's too much to teach. But anyways, I believe the Trinity, I don't understand it all. Hello? You can't put God in a test tube. Just believe it. If God said it, it's settled. I don't care if people, a lot of times we say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. But that's not true. God said it, it's settled whether we believe it or not. There's a lot of people who say, the Jehovah's Witness says, I don't believe there's a hell. But God's Word says there is a hell. I always tell Jehovah's Witness, well, there's no unbelievers in hell. You dying without Christ, you're going to go to hell. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no unbelievers in hell. They wake up, they look like Luke 16, they open up their eyes in torment, crying out, just like that rich man did. So it doesn't matter what people believe. God's word's true. Carl just read that Ephesians 2:6. God says we're already risen with him. He says we're up there already. Ephesians 2:6. So, you say, oh, I'm down here. Yeah, you are. You are, and so am I. We're at 745 North Freedom. We're not flipping out. But in God's eyes, and he knows we're here, but God reckons, he already sees us going up. How many understand? He sees us with the victory. There's a scripture there. 1 John 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, and this is the victory, even our faith. You see. And that's what we were talking about, the theme of Romans. The just shall live by faith. I finally got back to it. The just shall live by faith. Well, this is an introduction. And the only trouble with me, Brother Mark, when I get doing this, you don't understand, I could go for hours. You guys know, don't I? I won't. I'll let you go home. But when you get preacher in a setting like this, I love this because I've got scripture in my heart, and I can quote, I can bring up scriptures from different books and teach you, and we'll have fun. Don't get in a hurry when we're. Let me just give you this last thought. When you're studying the Bible, don't get in a hurry. Just try to learn something. If you can just learn one thing every time, that's all. Don't get in a hurry. One day we're going to get to heaven. He's going to show it all to us. Brother Ray, I don't care how good a guy is. You'll never. I just know a tiny little bit. I don't. Billy, there's so much. I don't hardly know anything in this Bible. And yet God lets me pastor. I know a tiny little bit. By the way, when we get to heaven, you're going to say, wow. There's a scripture over in Corinthians 13. It says, we look into a glass dimly. Let's close on that verse. 1 Corinthians 13. I didn't have that. Is it 12? Somewhere in that area? I'm looking through. I'm just guessing. I didn't have none of this plan. 1 Corinthians, find it for me, Eddie. 1 Corinthians 13, it's right there. We're looking through a glass, Jimmy. Did you find it, Mark? What verse was it? Okay. Amen. Send him, give us where we're at. We're going to close with this verse right here.
1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Mark. That was 1 Corinthians 13:12. We're just looking through. You think, man, we got it. We're just barely seeing it. We're just barely seeing it, Bill. And look at, Billy, you and I have a Baptocaustic fit, just barely seeing it. What are we going to do when we really see it? Whoa-ho-ho-wabba-dabba-doo! I'm glad you can't die in heaven, because I'll be stroking out, man. No wonder Paul said, I had not seen, and ear has not heard, nor nothing's in the heart of man, which God prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I think that's 1 Corinthians 2:9, right in there. Amen? And so, boy, it's so exciting, isn't it? Isn't that exciting? And so we're going to get into this exciting book called Romans, and I'm going to teach you the doctrine of condemnation in the next probably 5 weeks, maybe 7, 8, but we're going to start it next week. And I'll give you the doc. We'll get it. We'll talk about what is condemnation. I'll show it to you. And then we're going to take those four different types of sinners. The rational sinner. That's the guy that says there is no God. The reformed sinner. He thinks him and God are just like this. These are all lost people. And then the religious sinner. He thinks he's got to do evil to make God look good. He'll tell you, God needs me. He needs sinners like me. I make God look good, the religious sinner. I'll show you in the scripture. It says it. I'll show it to you. And then we'll just climb it up. We'll climb with the whole thing, the whole world. I don't care who they are. And by the way, you're going to see, as I teach you these things, it'll probably take a couple on each one. We'll see. Maybe I can get it together. We can just do one per night. We'll try. And Lizzie's saying, no way, preacher. Eddie's not saying a word. He's just laughing. Yeah. This is some of the greatest teaching you're going to get. If you can come Wednesdays, you come. And what it'll do, it'll teach you how to soul win. It'll give you understanding of the scriptures. And it'll show you how to win people to Christ. And what it does, it's also psychologically, when you know all the things about the rational sinner, when you start dealing with people, you'll say, oh, that guy's a rational sinner. And see, I'm going to show you all about the rat, and I'm going to show you how to deal with him. Then you'll say, oh, that guy's a reformed sinner. I know about that guy. Oh, my lance. Years ago, that one boy was, I can't pull his name up right now. He was a real good student. He went to his work and told the guy, you're a rational sinner. He got so excited. It was a young man. I'll pull his name up. It was about the first or second year of Romans, and he got so excited, boy. He was winning people like crazy. And so, how many want to be a better soul winner? How many just want to just have even knowledge? And I saw myself in some of these. You'll see yourself in some of the stuff. I know one thing. This is what God put in my heart to teach. These sinners. And the world, we need to reach out to people, and this will teach you how to understand where people are coming from. Amen? Well, that was the introduction of Romans. And I took your choir time because there was no choir. So next week, what we need to do next week is start right at 7, maybe sing a song, take up an offering. If you got a special, that's right. But boy, I need to be in these blocks by 7:15 so I can quit at 8 o'clock. You know, okay? Because there's other classes. You know, and they're wondering, what's wrong with preacher? Especially the Becca Club right now, those poor people. But this is the greatest teaching I could ever give you from the book of Romans. It's just phenomenal. This is great teaching that'll ground you beyond measure if you'll come. Bring your friends. Bring lost people because they'll get saved. We had tons of people get saved in Bible college. We had a ton of guys saved in Bible college. And Dr. Brooke taught this. He just gave invitations all the time. Guys, come forward and get saved. Because the entrance of thy word giveth life. Okay, let's pray. Let's get out of here. Mark, lead us in prayer.
Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for Paul and his testimony through the scriptures.
Yes.
Father, open our hearts and our minds and help us to study your word.
As
you've told us to, Lord, you told us to study it as a workman that need not be ashamed. I pray, Father, we'll do that now. And Lord, just open our hearts and give us what you have to give us over the next weeks and months. And Lord, help us to settle deep down in our hearts that we might be better students of the Word of God and better soul winners, Lord, more prepared to carry out your work, Lord. I thank you now for this service we've had tonight. Send us away with thy blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless each one of you.